The truth is, we may be partakers of the divine nature. You see, this is how we operate in Jesus' ministry. That's the way we operate as mandate or commissioned by God to perform Jesus' ministry. Are you following me? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, our lust or our needs or our whatever it is, you see, that's where corruption comes from, because we try, you see, what the problem with those things? It is because we try to get things that we don't think God wants to give us. God wants to give us everything. So we, because we are lustful about things, we try to get things that either we shouldn't be trying to get, or that we try find shortcuts to get the stuff that God wants to give us anyway, but we do it the wrong way to get it. Okay, so we break God's principle because of lust, because of desire. This is what Adam and Eve did. See, God had given them everything, but they saw that this stuff was good and they thought that maybe God wouldn't give it to them. And so they went out and do it, even what they thought it was against God. God said, don't touch that stuff. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's the lust that produces the problem. It's the desire, if you read in James, that always makes them end up being the temptation and get us sinning. But if we know that God has provided everything that we need for life and godliness, we don't need anything else. We just need to accept God's direction. And He's going to provide everything that we need better than we can ever imagine we can do it ourselves. So don't try to make shortcuts. Don't try to find your own way. Just trust God, because He's going to give it to you better than you can ever imagine that you can do it yourself anyway. Generally, you do it your way, you get messed up. Let's try to apply this to some areas. Okay? Promises of God. See, we bound on earth what is bound in heaven, we lose on earth what is loose in heaven. Okay? Has already been loosed in heaven. So, healing has been settled. There is a scripture, there is reference, there are many places we can see that God has already spoken about it. For example, surely, He had borne our sickness and carried our pain, yet we esteem and stricken, written of God and afflicted. So, it's done. If it is, then we can implement it. We can speak healing. Because what we do is implement God's authority over that sickness, over that situation. It's finished. We don't do anything ourselves. It's just nothing else. It's just a channel of God's authority through us, because we have been in charge to do that. Now, new creation. The new creation has been settled. Isn't it? I mean, you know, therefore, anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Have you become new or are still old? I mean, lots of people go around talking about the old man when instead they are new. Why? Because they don't appropriate the new man. You have to appropriate what is given to you. You see, all God's promises are not automatic. They have to be enforced. The enemy is not going to give up what he has already. That easy. You have to say, buzz off. You see, that's what Jesus did. He sent the demons out. He sent sickness out. The same, there is nothing has changed. It's the same authority that we operate with. It's the same Holy Spirit that works in us. It's the same promises that we used. Do you see how easy it is? It's not so complicated. It's pretty straightforward. It's just simply implementing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. These are the key of the kingdom. That's what is the key of the kingdom. That's the way you get in, the way the kingdom is established, the way you open up the door. So, new creation? Yeah. Have you appropriated the new creation? Or are you still the old man there? Or the old woman? I mean, that's the bottom line. Okay? You had to implement that. You had to say, and if the old man or the old woman raise up the head, you know what to do. Just say, no, go in Jesus' name. I'm not that person anymore. You see, you had to take authority. You see, that's what the authority is all about. It's implementing what God wants to be there. It's not just, you go around bossing people around. It's not that. Praise the Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Same thing there. I mean, the promise has been there all along from the Old Testament, the promise of the Father. I'll send my Spirit and whatever. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit come upon you. So, that's another promise. Is our job is to enforce that in our life. And maybe in other people's life, helping them to pray them and call for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. This is the key of the kingdom. This is how we are going to manifest the power of God in us. This is what God wants to bring on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's the prayer that Jesus did goes together with that. Because he's praying that what has been established in heaven be manifest down here on earth. But to manifest down here on earth, somebody has to make it happen. It just doesn't happen by itself. And this is our job. That was Jesus' job. You see, that was Jesus' job. And if it was his job, it's our job. Because he has passed on to us. We are taking over. Righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to know no sin, to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Are you the righteousness of God? So, when there are things that are not making you righteous, you have to take authority against those things. It's not the problem with people that keep sinning. It's because they like the sins they are in. They have the power to kick it off. Don't come and tell me that they cannot kick it off. They can't kick it off. The thing is, they enjoy it too much. And so they had to learn. They had to come to the place when they say, well, no, wait a minute. I don't want this. And they reject it. And after they reject it, they had to deal with the desire for that thing that is there. And they say, no, I don't want this anymore. And they take authority and say, I'll go away. With the spirit that's associated with it. People say, oh God, please do this, clean me up and do this. It's the word that cleans you up and then it makes you under conviction and so you have to clean up yourself. And if you don't, then you're in disobedience. And you are not going to be able to receive the things that God has for you because you're going to feel guilty. With good reason. You can't go and do whatever you want to do and things is, for God is fine. It's not. When God reveals something to you, you have to act on it. And then when you act on it, you act in faith. And God is going to empower you to overcome. It's not complicated. The gospel is not complicated. We make it complicated. Are you following what I'm saying? Communion. And let's talk a bit about communion. You see, communion and has to do with, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. There is nothing magical about going through the physical part. Okay? Nothing magical about the physical part. What makes the difference is what's going on inside you that makes the difference. You know, you can get the same thing that you happen to you in communion. Just simply sitting down and taking and remembering and says, okay, you know, he just died for me. His body was shed for me so that I can be healed, and his blood was shed for me so that I can be forgiven. And you take that position. That's it. Now, this is a physical reminder. And that's the Old Testament, kind of almost Old Testament thing, but Jesus kept it. And so that's fine. But the point is, it's not the physical that makes the difference. It's what happened to you. It's the same thing. You see, what you have to do is you take authority over your body. This is what the whole thing is. See, so I'm talking about this properly discerning. Let me read it. Let me read to you what it says. And so it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read that, and we're going to go through this so that you understand. You know, if you have any sickness in your body today, I want, at the end of the service, that you know you received healing. I would say, you say, how are you going to know? Well, do the way I do. I evaluate myself before I start. See, from 1 to 10, see where you are in those particular problems that you have. Now you say, well, I don't have any physical symptoms, you may say. Okay, it's just an emotional thing. Just as good. Okay, where are you emotionally from 1 to 10 in that particular area? Or maybe faith. I mean, where are you in faith in that particular area? How do you believe, you know, what degree you believe that, say, you are forgiven? Or maybe that by strap you were healed? Or whatever. But if you have physical symptoms, it's a really good way. Jesus always used the symptoms to prove what he was doing spiritually. He raised up and says, you know, you sinned, be forgiven. And then he said, and then you stand up and walk. And then people complain. He said, well, you know, what do you think is more difficult, to say to somebody to stand up and walk, or to sin if your sins are forgiven? The same, see, this is a miracle, has to happen for your sins to be forgiven. There is no difference. We make a difference. We partition ourselves, you know, spiritual, physical. There's no difference. We are just one. So, you know, if there is something happening in the spirit, there's going to be something happening in the physical too. Otherwise, we are blocking God from doing the job he wants to do. So if you have a problem physically, before we even start, say, okay, where am I there? That's what I did yesterday. I looked at myself, and I said, where am I? I said, well, you know, I feel pretty weak, and I feel tired, and I had two or three different areas, you know, strength, symptoms, you know, number of cough and everything else, all the other stuff. I said, okay, well, more or less, 3 out of 10, pretty rotten, and fine, good, you know where you are. If after you prayed and you got, you're not anymore 3 out of 10, maybe you are 5 or 10, you got something. You see, the problem, people get something and they don't even know they got something because they think everything has to be disappeared. Instead, God started the process. And once, you know, and once you got to 5, don't stop there. We are just started. And if you lose it, get back there. I mean, that's the only thing. It's that easy. It's not, if you got it once, you can get it a second time. And it takes one moment to do for that to happen. From 3 to 7 happened just in 1 second. After I repeated a few times, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. But you see, I had to repent, though, for that to happen. Because I wanted to rest. I wanted to take it easy. I needed the rest. instead of taking authority, I just wanted to do my own thing. So I just rest. So I had to change my mind about my position. Instead of allowing these things to be on me, I said, I don't want it anymore. That's repentance. Once I repented, I can take authority. It's no use to try to take authority on something I want to keep. The same thing about any sin. It's no use to take authority on any sin. You know, I don't want to smoke anymore. Or I don't want to drink anymore. Or I don't want to... whatever it is. I don't want to go in detail. But, you know, I don't want to do this thing anymore because it's sin. But then you just don't do anything about dealing with it. You have to stop wanting that thing. And say, I don't want that anymore. Then you take authority and you get someplace. Otherwise, forget it. See, you want that last demons in you, and then you want God to fix up everything. He won't do it because you have a part to play in it. If somebody comes with the anointing and kicks the thing out of you, the desire, and then you go back into your place and you get it back because you want it. Same thing with spirit of infirmity. There are lots of reasons why people want the spirit of infirmity. Want me to start the list? People cuddle you up or treated you nicely or whatever, and sometimes it wouldn't be bad, but you know, the fine point is somebody wants to do that because of being treated nicely is the wrong reason to have it. Or maybe, you know, they're too busy and they got... no, they are just used to it. They have been so... That's the common state they are in. They are sick. They have been always sick. So these things stuck on their back and they go wherever you go around. I'm sick. So the first thing that somebody that is always sick has to do is to repent about being sick. Of calling himself sick all the time. Of seeing himself sick. How do you do that? Go to the Word of God and show and read to the Word of God that wants to be well. And start believing that God wants to do that. And so you don't need to have that anymore. Do it. I know it works. When I'm not lazy, I do it. It works all the time. Laziness is something one has to repent about. I had to repent about being lazy. Okay? But I hope that through my laziness you learned something today. Amen? So, we are going to take communion. And if there is any area, problem, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, that you are contradicting the Word of God, you know, and see how strong that thing is in you and put a number to it. Then we go through the communion thing and then we can see where you are at. If you want, you can share if there is any difference. The easiest thing is actually physical symptoms because you can really feel the difference there. See, this is why when people come in for prayer, I always ask them, you know, where are you? Where are you? Because they had to know that they received something sometime. And sometimes, you see, after you pray once, from 4 to become 6 or 7, you don't stop there. Why do you want only 6 or 7 when you can push it further? Oh, the beating started, yes. But they can go out there and they lose what they got before. That happens all the time. Didn't ever somebody here were healed and then they lost it and then they had to get it back again? All right. So let me read this then for you. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's just a remembrance. You remember what happened. Remember why it happened. So that's where you base yourself. But, you know, if you don't know the scriptures, it doesn't mean anything. It's just an exercise of a ceremony. I don't care about ceremonies. I care results. Okay. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, the cup of it is in the new covenant of, in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, the healing comes of the slashes that Jesus got on his body. And that came first. As often as you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, the key thing here is how you do that. Okay, how you drink the cup and eat the bread in a worthy manner. That's the key element there. And it's not by you doing anything, but believing that what Jesus has done is sufficient to deal with all your sins. You don't need to go around digging for all, you know, how do you know that you confess all your sin? You know, it's nothing to do with confession here. It's just a question of believing simply what Jesus has done is enough. Because don't wait. You see, if you think that confession is going to do it, then you are saved by your works, because it's something you do. Instead, it's something he did. So you base yourself completely on what he has done, not what you are doing. It's by faith that you are saved through grace. So you trust completely that what Jesus has done, there is no sin that you could have done that is big enough for Jesus' blood not be sufficient to do the work for you that needed to be done. Simple as that. So you put your trust in him. That doesn't mean you go around doing these things again. It just simply means that you put your trust in him, not in the things you do. That's the basis of your salvation. Otherwise, well, you better take a few days or a few weeks to figure out all your sins you made, because otherwise you may miss something and you're going to get anything. For he eats and drinks unworthy manner, he drinks a judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For we should judge ourselves, that we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not condemn with the world. Are you judged? Well, you judge yourself. How does the judge, the Lord, chasten you? Tells you, are you really in faith or not? That's the way you're judged. You have to see if you are in faith, if you are trusting God, Jesus, or trusting something else for you to be. And when you are judged, then that's it. You're not going to be judged anymore. See, you're basing yourself on what he has done, and trusting that that is enough. And if you look at yourself, you said, you know, do I really believe that? And you judge yourself. Because if you are not considering enough, well, you are not considering the Lord's body properly. I mean, you're considering that what he has done is not sufficient. And if you're not sufficient, there are some consequences. What are the consequences? Let's read them a moment. Verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means they're dead. Now, the implication, you see, God put the sickness on you. That's not what it's saying. What it's simply saying is the fact that you cannot receive the healing because you don't trust God, so that your communion is a waste of time. See, when you judge properly the body of Christ, what he has done, and you are in faith, you're going to receive. If you stay sick, That means you haven't judged properly. So, in that judgment, there is a position. You see, that's what I did with myself yesterday. I said, that's enough about being sick. I looked at the clock, it was exactly 9 o'clock. That's enough of being sick. I have enough of this. And I've been lazy, and I've been not taking authority properly. I'm going to take authority now. And I repented of not having taken authority first. Then I implemented, I said, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. And spirit of sickness, whatever it is, go in Jesus' name. And I said it maybe 10, 15 times. Just get into it. Start getting into it. And by the end of the few minutes, 10 minutes or whatever, I said, okay, that's it. And I said, okay, I judge myself again in terms of, you know, where am I? And I changed. So when you come down here, instead of just coming there looking at the physical thing, you know, it's not the physical thing. The physical thing is the contact point. It's your position that counts. It's where you are spiritually. Are you properly judging the body of Christ? This he did it enough, was enough to bring the healing to you. And then you take authority against the sickness. He said, in Jesus' name, go. Now, one good way that it's when you take authority, you say, go, doesn't do any good. When you take authority, you have to take authority. That means, you know, you really have to get into it. Don't need to scream. You can do it silently. But has to come up from the inner part of you. So when you say go, your diaphragm has to just push up. There is the inner part of you that has to come out. You have to be the whole thing there, not just the, hello, go away. Doesn't do it. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to really get into it. And not just, don't say it once. Go on and keep saying it. Come against the spirit of infirmity. If you're going around saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, just come against that. Lots of people, that's the problem. They never break through because they never deal with the spirit of infirmity in them. So you pray for them, the pain or the thing goes, but they still have the spirit of infirmity. So what happens? Manifest again. Are you following what I'm saying? Are we going to try today? So, healing service today. Now you can do that anytime, anywhere, in your bed, anything, without even taking communion, you know, because essentially this is a reminder, a physical reminder. Do this in remembrance of me, that's all. If you know the Bible, you know the remembrance of me, you can go to the Bible and remember yourself. So, okay. So it's not the physical thing. Okay, the donations, you can bring it here and leave it on the bucket as you come and take communion. That's the way you're going to do it today. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. I believe that what Jesus has done is enough. His body was broken for me. For receiving my healing. His blood was shed for me. So that I may receive forgiveness. And the curse of the law may be broken. I thank you for that, Jesus. And today I appropriate what you have done for me. I just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.